The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast.
And click.
So how did that feel, Zoe?
Good. It was fancy.
Okay, I feel like you should do the introductions.
Oh, thank you. This is my lovely wife, Zoe, and she's happy to join us today, and so that's really exciting.
With very little convincing.
It only took us 20 minutes.
Yep.
What I will say is welcome to another episode of Oz Table Talk. My name is Luke, and as we've already said, we're at the table with our newest addition, Zoe. Thank you for joining us.
Zoe has been on the computer a few times.
That's right. So she's been producing for us. Yeah. That's right. But this is the first time at the table. But aside from that, my name's Luke, this is Shannon, and this is, who are you again?
The infamous
Emerson.
Yeah.
But here we are. So Zoe was concerned that she wouldn't have much to say. And then as we discussed the topic that we were going to talk about, she started saying all of these things about the topic, and it just became very obvious that this was the episode for her to join on. So that's how we got here.
We'll see how I go.
So Zoe, I didn't tell you about this before, but as I do with just about anyone who joins for the first time, tell us a little bit about you. So what you do, and maybe like one or two things that you're really passionate about that you really enjoy.
Well, I'm a teacher. I think a couple of things I really enjoy is music. I play the baritone horn, which is kind of like a small tuba, and that's really fun.
That's cool.
And I started playing in a band in Melbourne and with my dad, and that really helped me grow my love for it, which was very fun. I think so.
Did your dad play that particular instrument as well, or another one?
My dad plays the euphonium, which is similar but just like the next size up.
Mm.
But yeah, and so that's something I really enjoy. And then I also really like hanging out with Shannon and my friends and things, and like
that's
board
a positive
games.
To enjoy hanging out with your husband.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And board games as well. Mm-hmm. That's really fun.
Okay, but, yeah. What's a recommendation of a board game that not everyone knows about that you would recommend?
Well, actually,
oh, did you see the light come into her eyes?
Well,
here's an answer she had prepared earlier.
Yeah.
There's a game Shannon and I got recently, and it's like a two-player, like, cooperative game. I can't remember what it's called right now, but we started
That's
playing
so helpful.
Do you remember?
Sky Teams.
Sky Team or something like that. And it's really fun. And basically, the aim of the game is to cooperate. One of you is the pilot of an aeroplane. The other person is the co-pilot of the aeroplane. And your goal is to land the aeroplane safely. And there's these whole bunch of, like, scenarios and things and, like, challenges to make it more difficult. And it's really fun.
Mm,
wow.
Very good.
That is very cool. There you go. So you got a free game recommendation. So
we'll see if you can help us land the plane at the end of this episode.
Good point. Before we get into reels and feels, I'm curious.
Reels and feels.
From I love that. I live for that little intro.
The reels and feels.
So I'm curious, it's been a couple of weeks because people were away, etc., but we're back. What has been some of the coolest things that have happened for you guys in the last couple of weeks?
Well, everyone's looking at me, so I'll go.
Well, I know you actually went somewhere.
Yeah, I did.
Went somewhere
well,
too,
so. Yeah, it was my brother's 30th birthday, so, well, all right, I'll be honest. I went down to Newcastle to get a car.
So I had nothing to do with your brother's birthday.
And I chose a random weekend. And I said to Matt, I said, we're going in 2 weeks because that's when we're both free. All right. I didn't know what the dates were or anything. Turns out that it was a long weekend. That's great. Mm. It was also my brother's 30th birthday. Also great. And we picked up my dad on the way back because he was doing a...
hitchhiking?
He was doing a seminar at Byron Bay. Yeah. And he had a flight booked. And I said, we'll cancel your flight. We'll take you. So everything worked out really well.
Great.
It was a great weekend to pick. And then, yeah, got the car and brought it back. So happy days.
Very good.
Very cool. Right. And you guys, you've been away too.
Yeah. There was another birthday.
Yes. It was my pa's 80th birthday. And we went to Mount Kosciuszko with, like, my family. And it was really fun. We were... We went to the snow. And
ooh, I saw pictures of that.
Yes, I'm from Victoria, and so I was really missing the cold being up in Queensland. So
we don't have a lot of that up here.
No. But the snow was awesome. We went to Perisher one day, and it was really cool. It was probably the most snow Shannon and I had ever seen all in one place.
Hmm.
It was so awesome.
That's cool.
Just mountains upon mountains as far as you and I can see. And it was all snow.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Sounds nice.
I seen the video of you headbutting the big thing.
Yeah.
And I watched it and then...
I'm sorry, what big thing?
The big... sorry, the big context.
I saw you.
Context.
You were headbutting the big thing.
The big thing is snow. It was like a big snowball,
right.
Ice, yeah, crusty thing.
Carved it out of the snow. And
yep, threw it up and banged it, yep.
In your
anyway,
T-shirt.
And then Flo, my daughter, came running over and said, what are you watching? I want to see it. And I was like, yeah, all right, here you go. And she goes, that's Shannon! Certainly make an impression.
Mm, I can totally imagine her saying that. That's awesome. Very, very cool. My last couple of weeks have been very boring, so I won't bore you with them. But like, literally, the last couple of weeks, all of the exciting things that have happened in my life, you know, they have the word like contract associated with them, so it's like all work things that are complex and exciting to really strange people like me. But it's just been a really busy and very exciting few weeks.
Has it been fruitful?
Yes, it has been fruitful. Good, so the coolest thing about it, look, I'll give the very short version is as a part of the work that we do, I found out that there was a company that is closing down a piece of software in Australia because they want to focus on the American market. And it's a piece of software that does a very specific thing that's something that we've been looking at getting into. And so I reached out to them, just thought I'd try it out. And I was like, hey, you guys are shutting down in Australia. What are you doing with your customers? Because we're thinking about doing something similar. And they said, great, like you can have our customers if you like. We'll take a 10% commission on anything we refer you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's nothing.
10%
like,
nothing.
I'm like, okay. So I said okay, but what okay actually means is we have to build like a mature piece of software and it has to be ready in January.
Mm.
And that's not long. Like for anybody who has had anything to do with software development, that is a very, very, very short. That's a half hour lunch break in software development term. So yeah, then I had to go, great. Now, how do I find people to do that? So we found there's another development company who's also from the same church that we are from the Ukraine, who we've been talking to for a while. And to reach out to them, and they've got a big team. And they were like, yeah, we can help with that.
Nice.
A lot of back and forth, but very exciting. And yeah, from if people who get excited about things like me, then
nice.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's what I've sort of been spending the last couple of weeks trying to figure out. Yeah. So now. Now it's time. You can make this
reels and feels.
There it is. So I'm just going to jump out of the table for a second, so I can go and click play over there. But we've got three reels to share. So let's do that. I think whose is this one that's on the screen right now?
It might be mine, but I'll have to find out when it's playing. Oh yeah. I'm just reading the comments. It is my one. So this is I'll talk about it afterwards. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Go from atheist to Christian in 12 weeks. Meet Lewis. He's an atheist, but he's also my best mate. So when I told him about an idea I had, this is how it went. I asked him, would he like to meet his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He said no. So I spun the narrative. Would you like to help me make a video? As a best mate, he agreed. So don't let this video fail because he won't come back. So some Christians may have heard of a thing called an Alpha course. What is Alpha? It's a 12-week course where you talk about 14 different questions. Where Christians and atheists can just chat. I'm pretty sure I convinced Lewis with the free food. They were dishing out Spudman level of Jackie P's. Over the next few weeks, we'll see if we can get Lewis closer to Christ. Praying for him every day and answering any questions that he might have. This series is going to be really honest and open, so see where Lewis gets to in this 12 weeks. But this is what Lewis was saying after the first day.
Right, Lewis, quick question. Question one, was the food good?
What bad things say about the Jackie Spuds?
Question two, are you still an atheist? Question three, are you coming back next week?
Definitely.
We're so on, boys and girls.
So just coming from Alpha, I have one request, and that's to pray for Lewis. Can you go from atheist to Christian in 12 weeks? Meet Lewis.
That's the reel. I've since watched some more episodes of the series. And so episode two basically started off with like, oh, wow, everybody commented and said that they were praying for Lewis. So a bunch of people started praying for Lewis. I said a prayer for Lewis after I watched it. And I watched this one, and then like 2 days later, I watched a few more. And essentially, like, once the video had gone out and everyone started praying for him, he started messaging, like, Lewis started messaging the guy who made the video. I don't know his name. And was like, started saying, like, I loved it so much. I can't wait to go back. It's going to be great. I've got lots of questions, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. That's nice. That's cool. I was just like, this guy's awesome. Just tricking his friend into going to learn to be a Christian. This is great.
Yeah, I wanted to say about this that I love it because it's so... There's two things about it that I love. One is that it's really creative. But secondly, I love the fact that it's so transparent. Like, he's not trying to trick his friend into it. Yeah. I think as Christians, often we fall into this trap where we really don't want people to say no, and so we kind of like hide our intentions. Like, we're not trying to share the gospel with you. Like, we're why not just be like this guy and be like, hey, being a Christian's awesome. Like, there are so many positive things that it's in my life, and on top of that, it's true. Like, why wouldn't you want a piece of this?
Mm.
And, you know, operating from like this open-handed perspective, I just think it's so refreshing. It's really, really, really so cool. Yeah. All right, the next one is from Shannon, so I'll let him intro that while I go and hit the button.
Yeah. Well, really, it's from Zoe, my wife. She sent it to me, and thought it was really funny and cool. And then I sent it to Luke because I agreed with her thoughts on it. And
yeah, I just thought it was funny. You'll see. Yeah,
on topic of what was happening, especially around the September 23rd.
Yeah.
Hey, Danelle, did you know the rapture's supposedly happening today? Danelle? I've been left behind.
It was in that moment Ashley knew if she had been left behind, she would need to take extreme measures. She also realized she would need to be able to defend herself. Maybe she wasn't alone after all.
Martin Luther, it's just you and me, bro. We have to stick together.
Ashley, are you okay? Where have you been? You missed the whole meeting.
The Seventh-day Adventist Church does not, has not, and will not endorse, promote, or otherwise advocate for the theological construct commonly known as the rapture. Any and all references to the rapture within this video are intended for humorous purposes only. By watching this video, you acknowledge that the events portrayed are fictional depictions and not representative of official church doctrine.
I loved the little disclaimer at the end. It was hilarious.
Oh, no. Oh dear. Mm-hmm.
And is this your one? Are you introducing it?
So just before I click this one, this is just I love the study of historical figures, and whilst I was aware of Isaac Newton and some of the history, the quality of his achievements really shocked me. And so just because I like learning from history, this is one that I thought was cool enough to share. So let me just nice.
Who do you think is the most extraordinary scientific mind that that humanity has produced?
There is no contest. Isaac Newton. Nobody comes close.
Explain why.
He, working alone, discovers the laws of motion. Then he discovers the law of gravity. Universal law of gravitation. Oh, and then someone asked Ike, or I don't know what they call him, Ike. Why do your planets orbit in this shape, ellipses, ovals, rather than perfect circle? They said, I don't know. I'll get back to you. And he goes home, and he comes back. I finally have my answer. And they said, well, Isaac, how did you do that? Well, I had to invent integral and differential calculus to answer that question. He then discovers the laws of optics, deducing that white light is composed of colors, because you could take those same colors, recombine them, and get white light, which freaked out artists of the day. So he does all of this. Then he turns 26.
Yeah. Wow.
That's cool.
I'm 1 year, less than a year away, a few months away, like 5 months from 26. And yeah.
I'm you're sitting there going like, what have I done?
So what you're trying to tell us is that you didn't invent differential calculus?
No, sadly not.
Well, he would have, but Isaac Newton already did it, you know.
That's true. Newton
already all the good stuff's already been taken. So I can't discover anything. It's all been discovered. Oh.
I actually remember having personal sadness when I found out that all of the countries in the world had already been discovered.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Because I was the same. I feel like a lot of boys were like that when we were kids. But you go, oh, you know, these people out here, you know, exploring and discovering, you know, South America and discovering islands and naming them after themselves. Like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, you can't. We've got satellites.
Well, hey, at least the world's still round. So yeah, that's right. Not flat. Mm. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was really cool because one of the things I find really interesting is that there's long static periods of history, and then there are these specific luminary people that pop up, and they bring all of this understanding, which unlocks a whole new world for everybody else. Mm. And Newton was one of those. And I just think that's really interesting that his findings, you know, that paved the way to a lot of the technology that we have today. And that is one of the reasons why the gospel can be preached into so many different places around the world. And so, you know, these breakthroughs, I really genuinely do believe that, you know, God uses them. And I just love that. And also, it's also a bit funny because, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, he is definitely not a Christian.
No.
Right? And he's, you know, holding up Newton as one of the greatest, scientific minds to ever live, who was a Christian and wrote extensively about it. And I find the irony there just quite interesting as well. So, just before we transition, I mean, this is part two, so we're going back to the book of Matthew, but just a bit of a, you know, tales from the tribe. So, you know, that you guys out there, I know I keep saying this week after week, but, you know, there are dozens more comments on that reel that you guys keep going back to. Yeah,
it's still going.
It's still going.
That's crazy.
It's still going.
I need to go read them all.
You guys, I was going to say, please get into it. You're like, enjoy. You'll enjoy the banter in there. But wow, like you guys are still on it. So we love when you share our content, when you especially when you interact with it. So just wanted to, you know, extend that thank you because you guys are still doing that. Great. So we started last time with Matthew chapter
previously on Oz Table Talk.
Yeah, that's it. Enter montage. So we were looking at Matthew chapter 24, and what verse did we get up to?
Verse 31.
Verse 32, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll start.
Verse 32. All right. So the parable of the fig tree. Zoe, your first time here. Did you want to at least read the parable of the fig tree for us?
Sure, I could do that.
Thank you.
Verse 35.
Yeah. Yep.
Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will no means pass away.
That's a different parable of the fig tree than the one we were talking about before. I'm just realizing now.
Yeah. I know. I was waiting for it as well, and then I realized.
Where's the bit where he curses it for no fruit? that's not this.
So, well, in this context, though, he's saying something really specific about the fig tree, right? Mm. So he's saying that when the branches are tender and it gets leaves, then you know that summer's near. Like you see a sign. And that sign is pointing towards a truth.
A greater event.
A greater event. It's not the fact that the tree has leaves and buds does not cause summer to arrive.
No.
But it is a sign that summer is arriving.
Just like our mango tree, there's mangoes growing and it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that size now.
Oh.
And it's like really getting close to like I'm having so a excited. Lot of mangoes.
What kind of mangoes tree is it?
A normal mango tree.
Yeah.
Understood.
The mango-y kind. Mango. We've got heaps. And they're all different and I don't know what any of them are.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
That's cool you got different
one mango.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's the Bowen Mangos, the R2E2s, the there's another one I know. Yeah. But anyway, nice. Cool.
Yeah, cool.
So, but same thing, right? So you're looking at the mango tree and saying, you know, summer's almost here. Jesus is saying the same thing with the fig tree. And he sort of pulls it together in verse 33. So also when you see these things, know that it's near, at the doors. Mm. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. What things?
The things that he's previously said.
Right, which are?
In last episode.
Mm-hmm. So go back and listen to that episode.
Refer to episode previous.
But to recap, though, that includes the two primary things. One is the one he's referring to here is the destruction of the temple.
Mm.
So he I was going to say forecasts, same thing, predicts. He prophesies that there will be a destruction of the temple. And so he's saying the people that are here, they are still going to be alive when that happens within their lifetime.
And it did. It happened.
Yeah, it happened in 70 AD, right? Yeah. So what we're reading this here, thereabouts 33. Was it 33 AD? 31 AD.
33 is when Jesus died. Or 31.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say, so Jesus was 33 years old, but he wasn't born at zero.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah. So it was 31 AD. And so, yeah, we're talking about 70 AD when the yep. temple was destroyed. So,
yep.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So he's kind of tying these things together. He's talking about the signs. We talked about the signs in our episode last time, like the wars, rumors of wars. And eventually, you guys remember what the sign was that was the main sign, like the actual one, and then the end will come?
And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come.
Yeah.
What verse is that?
14.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
So those signs are what he's referring to. That's what he's linking to this fig tree. He's saying, just like you see the fig tree, oh, it's almost summer, you can look at these things happening in the world, and you can go, we're almost there. We're almost there, almost at the second coming. As I said, this is kind of blended together. So we're almost at the second coming, or conversely, we're also almost at the destruction of the temple, because he prophesies both things. Yeah. So any of you guys want to comment on that section before we move on to the next one, which is a bit more eventful?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too.
Cool. So, someone want to read that? 36 to 44?
But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, so it's really good. He, he says, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, as in they were, I mean, in this aspect, he's using it to refer to, yeah, they were just living their lives. They didn't change anything because they didn't know that the flood was coming. They didn't prepare like Noah did. You know, Noah was the only one who went, there's a huge flood coming, we got to build this big boat. Everyone else was like, yeah, eating, drinking, marrying, living their lives.
Hmm. And none of those things are wrong things.
No, no.
Right?
No, no. It's just priorities. Making the point that they're just doing what they always did and they hadn't changed anything because they weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So there's going to be people that are just living their lives, just doing their thing. Not ready, not expecting it, not knowing it's coming. And then he says that it'll be like a thief. He says, but know this, that the master of the house had, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. What do you think that's referring to? Who's the master of the house?
Is it us who take care of, like, Christians? I feel like it's not.
I don't know. I'm putting a question out there. I've got an idea of what I think it means, but
I'd say that it's referring to the people of the earth that should be, you know, the master of the house, right? The people in authority, the gatekeepers, the ones who should know better, who should be sounding the alarm. They're the ones that don't know.
Yeah, but like, We should be ready, right?
Mm.
Like we should be getting ready for this event. So why hasn't he told us when it is so that we can get ready for it?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I think it's a motives thing at that point, right? So if we just knew, okay, Jesus is coming on the 4th of October, 2028. You know, what, you know, how would that change how most of the world related to God?
Well, me personally, I would find it very easy to not be ready until maybe, you know.
Yeah, October 1.
September, maybe. Yeah. You know, all right, so September, you know, he's coming in a month. Mm. Time to get myself right with the Lord.
And what does that evidence about your heart now, though?
Exactly. Mm. And it's like, no, he's going, no, I'm not going to tell you the date. That way you're always going to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I knew, and then I was just, oh, I'm just going to go out and live debaucherously and treat people horribly because, you know, when it's, you know, a month away, then I'll get ready and then I'll make myself right with God and then
you get hit by a bus in 6 months.
Exactly. You get hit by a bus and you die and you're not ready.
Yeah.
Right. So he's almost sealing us into this place where, no, I am going to rob your house, but I'm not going to tell you when it is. So you have to always be ready. You got to be awake every night.
You got to be in a constant state of revidence.
That's right.
Redivance. Readiness. That's what I meant.
Revelry.
I knew what I meant.
I think that in verse 43 at the end, it said, if the master had known, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. I think we're kind of talking a little bit about that. Like, if he knows.
Yeah, but who doesn't want the house to be broken into? Like, me personally, I'm like, yeah. Come in.
But that's because you're ready.
Break in and steal us all away.
But if you knew that you weren't ready or you knew that your family wasn't ready, would you want the house to be broken into?
No.
Exactly. And so I think that's the implication here. If you're not ready, you don't want it to come.
Mm.
So I think...
Always be watchful. Because then, like, if a thief does come, you're always like, hey, I've got, just say, in the house... We've got security, we've got things, we've got a guard dog. We've got these things to be prepared for whenever it does happen. Mm. But if it doesn't happen while we're living in this house, it's okay, I was prepared. Maybe the next people in their house to come can see our preparedness and continue that.
Mm.
Okay, but let's make...
Did you know, like, when you have kids, you probably experience this?
Mm.
When you have kids, like, you know, the levels of sleep?
I know, you have surface level sleep
and all the way down to, like, the deepest, deep sleep that you can reach. Like, if you're a...
That's what kids wait for you to get to before they wake you up.
Well, if you're a man and you have kids while they're young, especially, and if you have, you know, daughters like me, then it just never goes away. You never reach that deep sleep ever again because... Because, like, for me and for almost every farther out there. Mm-hmm. You're like, if someone breaks in, it's my responsibility. Yep. And that's in your head, mm-hmm. even if you're not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And so you're always ready, in a way, to protect your family if yep. someone comes and breaks into your house. And so fathers generally never reach deep sleep.
Mm.
That's why we're always so tired.
that I haven't heard that, but it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Before having kids, you could have marched a brass band mm-hmm. through my bedroom and they could have climbed out the window next to me and it would have made no difference.
Yeah, they wouldn't have woken me at all.
Yeah, no problem whatsoever. Our kids, you know, one in particular had real issues with sleep. And so I spent, you know, multiple years sleeping on a mattress beside them on the floor.
Mm.
And you just get used to, they roll over a lot and you're there, you know, it's like, mm. yep, paying attention. They're okay. You know, but it's like,
for me, it's, if the kid starts crying, I won't wake up. Jasmine will wake up like that.
Yep.
And she'll be up and she'll be going and helping the kids. But if, you know, something blows outside in the wind and something hits on the side of the house,
mm.
I'll be up. I'm like, what's that? Mm-hmm. And Jasmine's asleep. She didn't hear a thing.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I know we're sort of sidetracking a lot right now, but I got to tell you this. Two nights ago,
mm.
it was late and I was... in the bathroom, we've got an ensuite on one end of the house and the bathroom at the other end of the house. I was in the bathroom at the other end of the house. And Sarah sent me a text message and said, are you up here? And I wasn't. And I said, no. And she said, get here now. I saw it come in on my watch. Get here now. I'm like, okay, straight up. I what's going on? And she's like, I can hear someone's phone went off up here and you're not up here and I've got my phone, so someone's phone went off down here. And I'm like, what? And she's like, I don't know, someone's in the house, something, like, and I'm like, okay. And so, you know, that what you described, like, you know, protect family mode, right? Mm. You know, and so I checked everywhere that a human could fit, so unless this is a garden gnome, like, I checked everywhere, nothing doing. And then I heard Sarah start laughing and I'm like, why are you laughing? She said, I figured out what it is. There's like an old like music box clock thing. And I don't know, with change of temperature or whatever, it had just got enough to like just ting, ting, ting. That's it. And so she heard that and in the room adjoining ours, and she was confident there was someone had broken into our house.
Forgot
to put their phone on silent. That's it.
I thought you were going to say... I almost feel bad for even thinking this, but I thought you were going to say that she sent you the message and then heard your phone go off and thought that there was someone in the house because you were up the other end of the house. But anyway,
that would be even more funny. I get it. Wow.
Okay. But yeah. Anyway, that's the aspect of like always being ready.
But what does that mean though? Tactically, how do you always be ready? Like, I mean, for a thief, the idea is make sure that you're there, doors are locked, you know, you have something to defend yourselves with. Like, okay, those things, call the police, whatever. What does that look like in the sense of the parable?
We kind of would get to that in chapters 25. Like, if we go into, like, there's the...
I like it.
Wise and foolish virgins.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
There's the wise who keep extra oil to keep extra, like...
What's oil a symbol of?
Prayer... Holy Spirit, like connection and relationship with Jesus.
Yep.
You need an abundance of that to more than you think, like, oh yeah, I've got enough for October 4th, 2028.
Mm, that's right. Sort of, you need more than you think.
Or even think, oh, I can get some more oil a little bit later.
Mm.
Like, that's what the foolish versions did. They ran out of oil and then they went to get some more oil.
Mm.
And left being ready
mm-hmm.
for his coming, and then they missed it.
Mm. Mm.
So I got a question, because I let's go there next. I want to go on to the next passage. But before we do, I got one question here. As you were reading that before, Emerson, you read the part that says, wait a second.
Verse 43 is what I read.
Read verse 43. They'll be taken... And did not know until the flood came, took them all away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So things were going on as per usual.
Yep.
Right? What I find interesting is that in other places in scripture, we interpret that to be saying that there's going to be this time of great tribulation. That doesn't feel like things are just going on as per usual. So how do you understand the marrying together of those two ideas? Because there are certainly passages that seem to indicate that it's going to be a bad time. Mm. And I definitely don't think that would qualify as, you know, status quo, things are going as per usual.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's I think that the really hard times are going to be coming down between the the oppressors and the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always, if the Christians are being oppressed and then there's a group of oppressors, like, do you think that it's going to be the entire rest of the world that are oppressors?
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it is. But, well, you think maybe there'll still be Christians getting married during the time of trouble or the oppressors still going like, yeah, we got to get those Christians. Right. Well, not today because we're getting married. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's pretty hard to stop people living their lives.
Mm.
If you're an activist or whatever and you're going out and, doing rallies and marching and,
yeah, you're going to be much more in the crosshairs, right?
Yeah, you're going to be really in the thick of it, but you still have a job. You still have a family,
Yeah.
Still probably call your mum on the weekends and whatnot,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think you make a good point as well about, will it be the whole world that is experiencing that? Because
Maybe it will. I don't know.
It may do. But what I was going to say is there's a lot of people right now, we in this context, we don't feel persecution, right?
No.
Not in the current state. But if you were to say that in other places in the world, there are people, there are believers that are getting truly persecuted for their faith in ways that we can't even start to fathom in different areas. And so if you go to them and say, sorry, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
not necessarily for them. Mm. I think there will be widespread persecution. But also, I think you're right. Number one, it doesn't mean that it's widespread. It doesn't mean every single person, every single place. And also, I think a lot of the persecution will be directed in pockets, right? The people that are following God, not necessarily everybody, right? The rest of the world will probably think, yeah, things are bad, but we're doing okay. I'm still doing this and doing that, the other.
A lot of keyboard heroes.
Yeah, got plenty of those already. A lot of
keyboard heroes out there going, I like the Christians and, nah, they should all be killed. They're a plague on society and, there's a lot of that going to be going on. Yeah. A lot of that, I think.
Well, let's have a look. I like
theory.
I like.
We don't know what the future holds.
No, we don't. We're trying to learn though.
Yep.
I like what you were saying, Shannon, about the value of the follow up parables in interpreting what that readiness looks like. So, the next one is the faithful servant and the evil servant. So verse 45 says, who then is a faithful and wise servant who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day that he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
Well, doesn't that sound like a delightful time?
Mm. Ah, the Lord's taking too long to come. I'm just going to give up.
Mm.
Yeah. Seen a lot of that. I preach a sermon on this about, we need to be ready for the day to come, but we also need to be ready if it doesn't.
Yeah. Hmm.
Because, my grandparents were like, when they were 20, and they're in the Adventist church and it's going to happen, before I turn 30, the way that things are going, it's crazy. This is just wild. Didn't happen, And, they lived long lives and some of them are dead now and never happened for them, Yeah. And so in my mind, I'm like, he's going to come. And is my faith strong enough not only to be ready when he does come, if it's within my lifetime. Is my faith strong enough to be ready for that? But is my faith also strong enough to go, he hasn't come in my lifetime? That doesn't mean he's not coming, you know? And I feel like that's something that we always miss because, especially in the Adventist church, it's everyone's like, no, it's next 10 years. And we've been saying that for 100 years, you know? Yeah.
That doesn't make it wrong, but no, it's not the point.
It's not the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shouldn't be putting all our faith and trust that it will be in the next 10 years.
That's right.
But a hope and expectation that it will be so that we work towards that.
We just want to be ready. It's not even about when it is, because I would argue that living in a state of readiness, not anxiety, but readiness, is the way to living the best possible life.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how far away it is. I mean, I still believe it's soon. I think that all of the signs point to that, but that shouldn't be something that... shouldn't be a motive, right? Like that's going to change how you respond to God in that way.
Mm. And the way that events are moving so fast these days, you know, like we need to stop pretending like we know how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? Like the International Sunday Law which is what us as Seventh-day Adventists believe is going to be something that happens before the end of time, according to Bible prophecy, right? And like, 5 years ago, everyone was convinced on this idea of the Green Sunday, right?
Mm. Yes.
They're going to bring it in, and they're going to use the environment as a tactic to bring it in. Yeah, I believed it. Mm. I bought into it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They're going to bring in the Sunday law using this Green Sunday because, you know, the Pope had said it and the President had said it and stuff. And we go, this is it. It's all happening. Not anymore. No one believes that anymore because of all the Christian nationalists that have rose up in America.
Mm.
And now the whole country is pushing for, you know, Sabbath laws.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. 5 years ago, everyone was woke.
Yeah.
And now they're all Christian nationalists. Mm-hmm. How'd that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just crazy the way that things are going.
But I think this
movement
is... I think this is the thing. Obviously, God can see the end from the beginning, and I get that. But I think it's kind of like the way that, you know, planets and stars orbit, right? Mm. Like, you know, they're every so often... enough of the bodies will get into a close enough alignment where we get these particular constellations. And it's like, oh, that's cool. We're there. I think these signs, these pressures that come are sort of like that. It's sort of like everything kind of comes together to trigger the end times per se.
Mm.
And if it's not the right time, then those things all fall out of alignment. And someone showed me from the 70s, they showed me this big article that was in the paper. It was a fairly reputable paper, but it was talking about how there was this movement to standardize calendars and sort of make it, I'm trying to remember what, there's a specific word for it, but basically it was creating a specific and structured calendar. So like the days of the week always matched with the same dates in the year. And it was like this thing that moved around. And there was Adventists back in the 70s were saying, this is it. This is they're messing with the calendars, and this is gonna, you know, this is gonna like trigger this problem, and you know, this end times are gonna come. It didn't happen, right? So all those sort of things come together, and then they didn't. I remember when I was really young, I remember everyone was talking about, you know, the global overpopulation and that there's going to be this, you know, huge resource crush. And the guy that was the speaker of choice, you know, at that time, he was saying things like, by the year 2011, there will be like global standing room only. Like, we're going to like overpopulate. We're not going to be able to supply food for ourselves. It's just going to be... 2011, I think he said. I'm like, we're sitting here in 2025, and there is plenty of room.
We've got a lot of room to go.
We've got a lot of room to go, right? You know, and so like, there's all
plenty
of these
of food.
Things. The Mayan calendar, 2012.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah.
It's sort of like, oh, that's it. That's gonna hit. It's gonna. It's the end of us all.
Because
the Bible talks about
September,
the Mayans.
September 23rd.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the rapture's coming.
Well, that was what the real.
That's what the real was about. That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Nope. So, didn't happen.
But I think. Some of the things are sensational. Yeah,
and so now the whole thing is, the Christian nationalists are pushing for Sabbath laws.
Mm.
And I know so many people that are convinced this is it, you know? And I really hope they're right.
Yeah.
I hope that this is it. It's finally happening. The end times are coming. You know, it's going to happen in my lifetime. I'm not going to have to see death. That would be fantastic.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, it could come and go.
Hmm.
Yeah. Easily could come and go. And we need to be strong enough in our faith so that if it does come and go and it doesn't happen the way we are hoping or expecting it to happen, we still go, nobody is coming.
Hmm.
Yep.
Just because it hasn't happened the way we expected it to happen doesn't mean that I don't no longer think it's going to happen.
I'll do you one step on top of that.
Yeah.
I think we should pray for it not to happen yet.
Why is that?
To save more people. Like there's that sentiment,
yeah,
I don't know.
I take the John the Revelator stance.
Yeah, even so, come even Lord Jesus.
Even so, come Lord Jesus. No, I get where you're coming from,
Hold it off just long enough to save a few more. So.
The what's the Desmond Doss stance?
Yeah, yes. Yes, yes.
Just one more. I also think
that as more and more happens, the more and more Christians will show Christ's character and share the gospel through that.
Mm.
That more and more will come because of the final end.
Oh, for sure.
Mm.
The things that happen that it says are going to happen in the end are going to get a lot of people raising eyebrows, asking a lot of questions and really searching for the truth.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. And how many
people... Seek and you shall find.
Yeah. How many people I think about this because I often come across people in my experience that were either born, born into the church and have left or whatever. I think that as we get closer to the end and some of these things happen, I think there's going to be a tidal wave of people that are coming back to God because they know these things, right? Mm. And they see those signs happening and they see what's happening and they're like, that's not right. I was chatting to my neighbors. They watch this show. So if you're watching, you know, Oscar, Emily, hey guys. We were chatting to them and, Oscar was saying that, you know, despite the fact that, you know, we don't believe the same, we were talking about how aligned our values are. And I was thinking about this after the fact. And I said to him, I said, there's a lot of Christians that I am less aligned with than I am with you. And you wouldn't necessarily call yourself a Christian in the same way that I would, that I would think about that. And I think there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of, you know, Oscar and Emily's in the world that, as they are exposed to more, if what we believe is true, if what we're reading and what we've been studying over the last couple of episodes is accurate, I think that will resonate with people like that who have perhaps not had as much exposure to classic church theology, but they know right from wrong. And then when they see things happening that are wrong, they're going to stand up for the right.
Absolutely. Mm.
Mm. Well, just before
we read the parable of the foolish virgins.
We can. We can.
Or do we not have time?
Well, I was going to say one. We're at 48 minutes, so we're almost at an hour. But
got a bit of time.
Hey. Well, the thing was, we said we were going to do Matthew chapter 24, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they added the chapters and verses later.
It's all a part of the Olivet Discourse.
Yeah, that's right. It's all part of the same talk. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, the Wise and Foolish Virgins is very cool. Or did you want to do a part three and when we can...
We can do part three.
We can smash 25.
Smash 25 out.
Yeah, all right. We will come back next week for part... I was going to say part 23. We're going to come back next week for part three where we look at chapter 25 of Matthew. Mm. So, guys... Thank you so much for writing this episode out with us. If you're studying it along with us, send us a message. We would love to hear about it. Yeah. And
send us your thoughts.
Yeah, send us your thoughts. Absolutely. So have a great week. We'll see you guys then. God bless. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there because that is where we interact with our listeners and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/OzTableTalk, and you can give anything from even a dollar a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.